This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Deuteronomy. Let's join Pastor Sandy in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 5 through 8 for today's study.
Right out of Egypt, the Hebrews started complaining that they had no water. And God told Moses to strike the rock, and from that rock, water flowed, and God silenced their grumblings at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? And this is the question your son is going to one day ask you. Some of you got babies right now. Some of you got preschoolers, even grade schoolers. You haven't gotten these questions yet, but they're coming. Trust me. One day your son is going to ask you, why should I do that? They're going to ask you for the reason behind the rules. They're going to want to know the rationale to obey God. Why is sex outside of marriage such a bad idea, Mom? Why should I go to church every single Sunday, Dad? How do we know that the Bible is God's inerrant word? How do we know? Hey, trust me, those questions are coming, and parents need to be informed. They need to do their research. They need to be prepared for when your son asks you in time to come, you need to be prepared to give them sound, logical, biblical answers. Moses tells the Hebrews, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He tells parents to make sure their kids know their testimony. That's a good start. To make sure that their kids know how they were saved, how God worked in their life to deliver them. Have you shared your testimony with your kids, parents? Let me encourage you to do so. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And verse 23 to me is one of the most important verses in the Bible. For catch this, understand this. If you don't take anything else with you, understand this tonight. God always brings us out so that he can bring us in. Will you say that with me? God always brings us out so he can bring us in. He says he brought us out from there that he might bring us into this land that he's promised us. Guys, God delivers you from sin. He saves you. He washes you. He cleans you up. Not so he can put you on his mantle and show you off to the friends that come over for dinner. That's not why he does it. No, he brings you out so that he can bring you in to this promised land, to this land of blessing. So that you can win battles, and so that you can conquer enemies, and so that you can be fruitful, and so that you can enjoy his grace and his blessings. When you come to Jesus, God brings you out of the world to bring you into a better life. He always brings you out in order to bring you in. Don't forget that. Verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. I love that. To fear the Lord is for our good always. That he might preserve us alive as it is this day, then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments which the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Chapter 7 opens with a battle plan for the invasion of the land of Canaan. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Uptites and the Muscatites. I like to do that. seven nations greater and mightier than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. And we talked about why this utter destruction was necessary. We talked about that last week. If you weren't here, you want to go back and get the CD. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. And I think the thing we need to remember about the Hebrews is that at this point, they lacked the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, since they had no inner strength, they were subject to outside influences. You see, if you don't have a power greater within you than is without, you're going to capitulate. You're going to be tempted and drawn in. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need a power in us greater than the power outside of us. And this is why God put such tight prohibitions on the Hebrews, mingling with the pagans in the land, for he knew that the Hebrews lacked the power to resist temptation, and they would get sucked in by these pagan marriages, and they would end up falling into idolatry. This is also why we need to make sure that our kids are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we expect them to resist temptation, we need to equip them with the power that they need to resist temptation. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, but thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. In other words, when it came to idolatry and these pagan practices and their images and their altars, God expected Israel to have a zero tolerance policy toward any flirtation with idolatry. He says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And holy means set apart, reserved for God. The Hebrews were to be reserved for God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's how God sees you as well, as a special treasure, as we talked about this morning. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And what an amazing statement this is. God didn't choose Israel because of her natural advantages, her large numbers, or her pedigree, or her special endowments. God chose Israel for one reason. He loved them. And I hope you know the same is true for us. It is all about grace. We get into God's family not on our merit, but on God's mercy. It is all about grace. Verse 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keeps his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with them who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. And he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. You see, these were the blessings of the old covenant. What we need to understand is that God was building an earthly, physical kingdom within Israel, and thus his covenant translated into these physical blessings. He would take away the sickness from them. He would bless them materially with their cattle and their herds and so forth. Today, there's a difference. Today, God is building a spiritual kingdom. We are a part of that kingdom, and thus the blessings we can expect from God are not necessarily those physical blessings, but the spiritual blessings that He has for us. He wants us to be rich, but not necessarily materially. He wants us to be rich spiritually. This is why Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. And here's another difference between the covenants. Under the old covenant, the idolaters were destroyed. Under the new covenant, they're loved and converted. Verse 17. Now, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh. Remember. To remember. Did you get that? What's our responsibility? To remember. So often our faith gets short-circuited because we don't remember. But you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. Hey, when the Lord fights for you, even the hornets become your allies. The secret weapon. I didn't mean for the Charlotte Hornets to get up there, but they're defunct now, aren't they? Didn't they move to New Orleans? That had nothing to do with the Bible study. Verse 22, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You shall be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Notice the byproduct of a mass extermination of the enemy would leave no one to help thin out the population of lions and tigers throughout the land. Israel would be rid of one problem, but they would inherit another problem. And thus God chooses to drive out the enemy a little by little. He promises victory. But here he tells them that it will be won in increments. And guys, this is true in our lives as well. Sometimes we want it all at once. Man, we want overnight, instant elimination of all of our problems. But that's not how it works, does it? That's not how discipleship works. That's not how we obtain victory in Christ. Yes, immediate victory does occur the moment we embrace Jesus. Instantly, our hearts are transformed. Our spirits are converted. But the working out of what God has worked in takes time, and it occurs little by little. And along the way, valuable lessons are learned, patience is developed, maturity is cultivated. God takes us little by little and grows us and allows us to become victorious. He says, but the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Verse 26 is extremely important. It teaches us to hate. Did you know God wants you to hate? Yes, He does. He wants you to detest and abhor anything that is sinful, anything that will drag you under. Moses tells us to hate the abomination, to not to bring any abomination into our house. Not that porno magazine, not that bag of marijuana, not that dirty movie, not that raunchy video game, not that occult literature. God hates those things. They are an abomination to Him, and we need to learn to hate what God hates. Lest you suffer the same destruction intended for that abomination. That's what he says. Evangelist Billy Sunday, I think I have a picture of him. This was a fiery guy. Matter of fact, I heard this quote just last week at the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College up in Chicago. They actually had a little clip of this. You punched a button. I went to this exhibit and you punch a button and it's got Billy Sunday saying what I'm about to read to you right here. So I can't do it as well as he did it, but this is what Billy Sunday once said. I'm against sin. That's about how he said it. I'll kick it as long as I got a foot, and I'll fight it as long as I got a fist, and I'll butt it as long as I got a head, and I'll bite it as long as I got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition. Put Billy Sunday back up. You see him saying that? Here's the key to discipleship. Hate sin. Love God. You want a better life? Hate sin. Love God. You want to grow in Christ? Hate sin. Love God. You want to make it through this world? Hate sin. Love God. You want to get to heaven and hear well done, good and faithful servant? Hate sin. Love God. Chapter 8 tells us God's purpose for Israel's wilderness experience, that it wasn't just to let the older generation die off. No, it was a period of testing. It was a period to test the faith of the younger generation. You see, there are no self-made individuals in the desert. It takes daily miracles from God to survive in the desert. You have to learn to walk by faith in the desert. And that's one reason God kept them in the desert for 40 years, to teach them faith. He says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice why? To humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's the verse that Jesus quoted when the devil tempted him to try to prove that he was the Messiah by turning those stones into bread. In other words, we feed our bodies with bread, but we feed our soul with something richer. Our soul needs more nutritious food. It needs the Word of God. Only God's Word can fortify and satisfy the spirit of man. It was Charles Spurgeon who once commented on this word every, as in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He wrote this, in places where they cut diamonds, they sweep up the dust, because the very dust of diamonds is valuable. And in the Word of God, all the truth is so precious that the very tiniest truth, if there be such a thing, is still diamond dust and unspeakably precious. Everything in you read in God's Word is precious and important and can speak a truth to your life. Even the diamond dust of God's Word is valuable to us. Verse 4, he says, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Wow. Talk about God's provision. My boys can wear out a pair of jeans in a week. They can wear out a pair of sneakers in 6 weeks. Imagine going 40 years in the wilderness with the same clothes and the same shoes. They walked on a desert floor for 40 years and never needed Dr. Scholl's. Can you imagine? Verse 5, you shall know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Oh my. Did you hear that? You shall know in your heart. Now you know this in your head, but that's not the point. We all know this in our head, that God is our Father and He disciplines His kids. But do you know that in your heart? Have you accepted that and embraced that? That God is a good daddy. And because He loves you, He will spank you from time to time. Don't resent it. Don't be surprised when it happens. Chalk it up to God's love for you. When you're disciplined by God, it means you're His kid. And then He's taking responsibility for you and He's faithful to you. You know that in your head, but I hope tonight you'll know that in your heart. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. But beware, here it is again, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Apparently, we can get so enamored with the gifts of God that we forget the giver of those gifts. Don't forget. You have a responsibility to remember the work that God has done for you, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which you were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end, that you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Oh my. But that can happen. God works miracle after miracle after miracle on your behalf, and then you rise up and you take credit for it. You rise up and say, my power and my might has gained me this wealth. Reminds me of the woodpecker pecking away on the tree trunk. A thunderstorm was brewing, and all of a sudden a bolt of lightning hit that tree, split it right in two. And that's when the woodpecker kind of stuck its chest out and started saying, wow, look at the power in my beak. Hey, God doesn't bless your business and your family and your finances for you to turn around and take the bows. Give the glory to whom it belongs. God has blessed you because He wants you to honor Him. He wants you to give Him the glory. Live humbly before God. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And there we have Deuteronomy chapters 5 through 8. And we have a responsibility to do what? To remember.
That's all the time we have for on today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio. Join Pastor Sandy next time as he continues to share insights from the continuing journey of the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. You can hear today's message again or find more teachings from Pastor Sandy by visiting our website, sandyadams.org. While you're there, take a look at the Articles tab to find additional discipleship articles by Pastor Sandy. These articles dive into what's going on in various ministries, answer questions many have about the Bible and Christian life, as well as provide more information as you study God's Word for yourself. You can find even more resources available for purchase in the shop section of sandyadams.org. We're so glad we can bring you biblical teachings with every edition of Sandy Adams Radio, but we want to make sure you're also plugged into a church family. If you haven't yet found a church home and are in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you come see us in person at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. We'd love to have you join us as we worship our Creator, learn from His Word, and spend time getting to know each other. Give us a call for directions and more information about the church at 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. Thanks for listening today. Pastor Sandy will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Deuteronomy next time on Sandy Adams Radio.